Hello, everybody. Welcome from Cabo San Lucas. Yes, we're all here having a great time on this incredible incentive trip. We all, you know, got up early this morning and flew out and had a great opening reception tonight. There's just like 700 people here. It is a blast. The place is absolutely beautiful. So I wish you were all here with us, but I know you're out there doing your own things and getting, you know, a lot of new people involved with Manatech and helping us achieve this mission of ours. One of the things that I love so much at the hotel is they have this huge area where they have M5M blasted up on in lights, orange lights on walls of the hotel outside, and Manatech, and it's just really neat. It's really a great acknowledgement of who we are. If I were staying at this hotel and wasn't associated with Manatech, what the heck are all these M5M things doing everywhere? So a lot of good chances to do some prospecting as well for all of us. And I was at dinner with the team tonight, and they all talked about how many people they collected on the airplane. So a lot of new contacts, and always every opportunity presents itself, you want to take advantage of it. So anyway, today I want to talk to you a little bit. I know you're hearing this not live, but basically taped, because we're taping it right now as I'm in my room at the Barcelo Resort. And we're going to talk about a topic that became really near and dear to me last week. Lydia found a video recording of a fellow. His name is Sean Achor, A-C-H-O-R. And he's an expert, quote unquote, in the field of happiness. He wrote a couple of books. One's called Before Happiness, another is called The Happiness Advantage. And I watched an hour. Some of you were on board with me because it was part of the Trek program. I liked it so much. An hour and a half video of him and sharing about this whole concept of happiness. And it was so incredible that I wanted to share it. I bought the books, but I didn't get a chance to read them. So I did find an article that covered the Happiness Advantage in the Harvard Business Review. So what I'm going to do today is just review that article with you. And hopefully in the future, we'll do a more intensive review of the Happiness Advantage, because I think this is a huge topic that can really change your lives. It has an impact on me already, just understanding it and reading through it. And I hope you enjoy what we cover today. So let's jump in without further ado. Again, Sean Achor of The Happiness Advantage, he's the author and of that book, and he also was the one that was responsible for the article in the Harvard Business Review. So we'll the article in the Business Review was entitled Positive Intelligence. So that's why I entitled the outline today, Positive Intelligence, Choose It. So why motivating from fear is a huge mistake? Because what Sean talked about in the article was he talked about a company that was undergoing some enormous change, beginning into global expansion into 19 new countries. And it was a really high pressure type situation. And it was, everybody was like really being pressured into accomplishing things. And when you put urgent demands on people, what it does is it has the impact of increasing their anxiety levels. And he talked about the specifics about what happens in our brain, that the part of our brain that processes threats in terms of being an anxious and in an anxiety stage actually detracts from resources going into your prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for problem solving. So this gets into the analysis of then you put a lot of pressure on people in terms of a threat or from a fear perspective, you're going to squash their problem solving capabilities. So the idea is instead of coming from a fear, this must be done, or putting a lot of pressure in situations, a lot of stress, why not come from the opposite perspective. So in this analysis that he did, he was talking to this company, it's called Burt's Bees, and he took a totally different, the CEO took a totally different tact. Each day he sent out an email praising the team members for the work related to the global rollout. He also interrupted his own presentations on the launch to remind his managers to talk with their teams about the company values, focusing on the values of the company. Instead of focusing on pressure, deadlines, and getting all tensed up, focus on our values. And then he also had Sean Achor involved in doing sessions with the employees on happiness. And it just had a major, major impact on the successful nature of the transition that the company made into a global company. And a lot of the managers had since reported back and told Sean about what had been accomplished. But if you look at it, if we reinforce people positively, if we praise people and reinforce them, and, you know, that's what's going to foster leadership skills and problem solving at its highest and best level. Research actually shows that when people work with a positive mindset, performance on nearly every level, including productivity, creativity, and engagement, all improves. So important for us to keep that in mind, especially when we're trying to motivate our organizations, people in our downline, our team members, that we come from a position of positive reinforcement and really working at reinforcing the values in Manatech, our positive nature, the positive things that people are doing, even when they fall apart and do things that are, you know, we don't necessarily agree with. We want to come from how do we positively reinforce the positive behavior and then allow the corrective adjustments to be made because people can tap into their own problem-solving postures and capacity of their brain. So big concept about what are we focusing on and what we create based on what we focus on. One of the big misconceptions that we have, which is a real driver out there, is that most people believe that success precedes happiness. Like, once I get a promotion, then I'll be happy. Once I hit my sales target, then I'll feel great. For us in Manatech, it might be once I get to national director, or executive director, or presidential director, then I will achieve happiness. And this is such a misnomer. It's got it backwards, is what it is. And so the problem is that when we focus on a target, success is the moving target. Because the minute you get to national director status, what are you going to be striving for? Executive director. So if getting to national was all important to reach your happiness, the minute you change that target, you're back into a state of unhappiness once again. So happiness becomes a fleeting response. So it's better that we need to cultivate a positive mindset to perform better in at all levels of challenge, no matter what that is. So the reality being that being happy is what really truly brings you success. Creating that positive mindset, that positive format in your mind that you continue to grasp onto and hold onto through thick and thin is what will create the success in your life. And that's what he calls this the happiness advantage. People, this is a quote directly from Sean, people who cultivate a positive mindset perform better in the face of any challenge. He calls this the happiness advantage. And I want you to think about that and look at it and perceive it for your own life and look at some of the challenges you've had and when did joy pop up in that challenge? And are we trying to meet challenges by getting overly serious, getting too tensed up, stressed out, focused on fear, what's going to happen if it doesn't work out, instead of always looking at this is going to be the greatest thing and coming from a positive perspective. And every business, in his research he's done, every business outcome improves when the brain is positive. He had observed this in 48 different countries in all of his research. He also talked about, in this article, he talked about this meta-analysis of 225 academic studies. And there are three different researchers involved, Sonia Lubarinsky, Laura King, and Ed Diener. And they found strong evidence that of directional causality between life satisfaction and successful business outcomes. And life satisfaction is now a very well-established measurable term. So they're looking, they're saying our happiness or our life satisfaction is critically tied directly to successful business outcomes. So we have this concept that how do we have this carry with us, this feeling of life satisfaction? It's important for us to establish that and have that be part of who we are, right? Because we want to create the best possible results. So again, it gets back to that happiness factor. Another common and the conception that we have to be, you know, successful first is totally erroneous. Another common misconception is that our genetics or environment or a combination of them determines how happy we are. In other words, I grew up in a family with a lot of depression, so that's why I'm depressed or I'm unhappy. Or look at my environment. If you lived in a place like I did or had the lack of opportunity I had, you would also be depressed or couldn't find happiness, or any level of combination of those, and that determines how happy we are. Well, Sean's not trying to suggest that this has no play on our mental states, because clearly our genetic makeup and our environment have a play on our mental state. Our level of happiness, our level of well-being is impacted by those factors. But the problem is that even though those factors can impact your level of happiness, clearly your general sense of happiness is a very malleable thing. In other words, you can impact it. No matter what's happening around you, you can control that level of happiness in your life. And that's a great aha for many people. Many people live their lives being dictated to by what their environment is and what's happening around them, and that's what controls whether they're happy or not. Instead of saying, I choose happiness. And he talked about three ways to enhance this. In other words, three ways, major ways to enhance your ability to control your sense of well-beingness, your sense of life satisfaction, your sense of happiness. Number one, look at the habits you cultivate. So you can cultivate good habits that will always lead you towards a sense of well-being and happiness. Number two is the way you interact with coworkers. And that can be coworkers, we can talk about with family members, we can talk about because he took this from a business perspective. We can talk about how we interact with our team members in Manitech. And team members for me, of course, are everybody, because we're all on a team. I may have, my team might be looked at as people in my organization, but I feel like everyone in Manitech's part of our team. We're all on this team together because we're all convicted about this mission together. So how are we interacting with co-Manitechers, co-champions, right? And what are we doing in regard to that? And then the third area, the other way that he said to enhance this sense of happiness is how you think about stress, putting some level of control around that. So let's look at each one of these three items that he talked about. Habits you cultivate. So he went on about training our brain to be positive is not very much different than training our muscles when we go to the gym. And recent research that they've done in the area of neuroplasticity, which is the ability of the brain to change even in adulthood, no matter what your age is, it's not limited, reveals that you develop new habits, you can rewire the brain. As we develop new habits, we rewire the brain. So it's important for us to understand that habits truly can rewire your brain. If you want to use the terminology rewire, I'm just saying to allow us to have a more positive outlook on life. If we just, what? Develop habits, good habits that let us do that. And so he talked about there, if you just choose one, he came up with five exercises. Engaging in just one brief positive exercise every day for as little as 3 weeks can have an incredibly lasting impact on your happiness or your life satisfaction level. And this is all dictated out of his research, because Sean's been researching happiness and the impact on the human psyche and the impact on the human results that we create. And so this comes out of his research, that just one brief exercise every day for as little as 3 weeks can have a major impact on your happiness. And in one of the examples that he used, I didn't put in the outline today, but he talked about in December of 2008, just before the worst tax season in decades, he worked with some tax managers at KPMG in New York and New Jersey to see if he could help them become happier. And of course, his comment was, now, that clearly takes a very optimistic person to think they can make these tax managers happier. But he asked them to choose one of five activities. And these are the five activities that I've outlined in the outline today, because these are what he tells people to do in every instance. But he used these five activities. We'll review them in a second. He said, the participants performed their activity every day for 3 weeks, and several days after the training concluded, they evaluated the participants in the control group to determine their sense of well-being, how engaged they were, and whether they were depressed and all those kind of things. And they did a metric scale on that, and they showed that Their level of productivity and happiness moved from 22.96 on a 35-point scale before the training to 27.23 4 months later, which is considered a significant increase in that scale system. So one small little exercise every day for a period of 3 weeks kept these tax managers happier for months after the training program had ended. So happiness then becomes the habit, or it becomes habitual for people. So let's take a peek at the five different exercises that are optional there. And of course, each and every one of us can opt into this if we choose that we want to add this to our life. Number one, jot down three things you're grateful for. And again, do this what? Every day, exercise every day for as little as 3 weeks. Every day for as little as 3 weeks. Number two is write a positive message to someone in your social support network. And for us, that would mean our team. Write a positive message to someone on your team. Number three, meditate at your desk for 2 minutes every day for 3 weeks. Number four was exercise for 10 minutes, and some of us already do that. Exercise always excretes a lot of more endorphins, so we know that exercise will have this tendency to bring more happiness in our life. And then finally, take 2 minutes to describe in a journal the most meaningful experience of the last 24 hours. So you're starting to grow. You're getting meaningful experience. You're trying to grow, and you see yourself in this growth mode. And that's very positive impact on people as well. So those are the five exercises. So what we want to do is kind of look at how these impact. Early on, he said what? That there were three things. Habits you cultivate, and we just talked about habits. And he gave you five ideas of habits that you can incorporate in your life to bring more happiness in your life. The second thing he talked about was the way you interact with coworkers. So let's talk about that. That's the second one. The way you interact with co-workers or co-team members. And the happiness of employees ties directly to productivity and the bottom line. So there's a direct result. If you can increase the happiness of your team, it's going to directly tie into the productivity and the bottom line of what you create in Manitech. And tests on life satisfaction, which again is a widely accepted metric, shows those who score lower on their test of life satisfaction. Those who score lower stay home an average of 1.25 days per month. So more than ones that score higher, right? So there are more days at home by people who have less happiness. Well, that seems to make sense because people stay home for depression. They don't feel like coming into work, and that eventually overcomes them, so they miss a day. Those who score higher on the life satisfaction metric in a retail showing, in their research experiments, showed an average of $21 more in earnings per square foot, adding $32 million more in profits to this entire chain that he did the research on. So that's pretty amazing how life satisfaction directly tied to your productivity and the bottom line. So if you're going to interact with people, of the above five exercises, the most effective is to engage positively with people in your social network. So we need positive interaction with you and your team members. And studies show strong social support correlates with an astonishing number of desirable outcomes. And I've listed in the outline a number of different studies that they did showing that if you give other people social support, and social support, one of them showed actually that the higher the levels of social support, the longer longevity of people's lives. It's as reliable as regular exercise and increasing longevity. And low social support is as damaging as high blood pressure when it talks about longevity. Isn't this amazing? So these are direct correlations about how we're socially interacting with people and giving support to people around us or getting support. There's a Harvard study out there of 1,648 students showing social support was the greatest predictor of happiness during high periods of stress. Greatest predictor of happiness during high periods of stress was what? Social support. And that's what it dictated. So that was a pretty cool study as well. He ran a follow-up study on the impact of not just receiving social support, in other words, the recipients of social support showing greater levels of happiness, but what about giving social support to people? In other words, come from a giving heart. Reach out to people, do things, step out of your way to do something special for people and people on your team. And they found that in their study results, they found that the people that were giving social support were 10 times more likely to be fully engaged in work and 40 times more likely to get a promotion. So we always hear about it's greater to be a giver than a receiver, right? Well, this applies in social support as well. Much better for us to always be on board with how can we contribute to people's lives? How can I make this person happier? How can I bring more joy into their lives? And that's really not a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do if you don't come from joy yourself. But once you have a joyful spirit, it just comes natural. It's like reacting to people and interacting with people, no matter where they are, no matter what level they are, no matter whether they sit next to you on a plane or they're sitting next to you when you're eating or wherever they might be within reach. And so it says, so Mary Jo, what about, you might ask the question, why, what does this social support look like? And he did in one of the studies that they did in an environment, which was within a hospital, showing remarkable results, they came up with what they call the 10-5 way to increase social support among employees and patients. And he said, how does social support work in practice? The example of the 10-5 way went like this. Modify behavior. He told all employees were to modify their behavior. So when they walk within 10 feet of someone, so if you're within 10 feet of anyone, you must make eye contact and smile. And if you get within 5 feet of someone, you have to add hello to that interaction. So you make eye contact and smile and say hello to them. And that was their social support system. That's how simple you can put together a social support system. That's how simple it for us to contribute and give to other people, which increases what? Our much greater likelihood of being fully engaged in whatever we're doing in terms of our Manatech business or our work or whatever it is, and 40% more likely to get a promotion, 40% more likely to achieve national director, executive, or presidential director. Our highest level of social support. So giving more social support. And that's as simple as what? Make eye contact, smile, and say hello to people. Amazing. And I feel this has direct application for what we do because it's the same thing. Lydia taking me out on these excursions over the weekends. You know, we went to Oktoberfest yesterday, even though I was leaving for Cabo this morning, and had a great time interacting with people at that festival for a few hours. And it's the same thing. It's about eye smiling, making eye contact. And I smiled and made eye contact with one woman, and it turned out to be the general counsel from Manatech. A lot of you where you are don't have to worry about bumping into that person where you go to Oktoberfest, but we did. But anyway, it's great. It was, but it's just fun to meet people, talk to them. We made a lot of great contacts at the Oktoberfest and are excited about following up with those people. So a neat way to increase your results. And he said the meta-analysis of 225 academic studies, they found happy employees have on an average a 31% higher productivity. Sales are 37% higher, and creativity is 3 times higher. Highlight that on your outline, people, because when you see those kind of results, how can you not choose into happiness? Absolutely. And social support being a huge key to all of us, not waiting to receive it, but to go out and give it. Because the givers get more back than receivers do, don't they? That's what this is all about. All right, and then the final third thing that he talked about, all right, going back to what we highlighted earlier, he talked about habits you cultivate. We reviewed those and gave a bunch of 5 different examples of different habits you can cultivate to help you achieve greater happiness. The way you interact with coworkers, right, about the social connectiveness, right, making that social interaction, giving social support to your coworkers and co-team members. And then how you think about stress, that's the last one. And how we think about stress is really important. And I never thought about it this way because most of the time when people think about stress, they think about in terms of how painful it is and the damage it does to our health. We always talk about, in fact, when you're being in the health field, you know how many conditions are triggered by stress, stress-related all sorts of high blood pressure, stress-related anxiety, stress-related autoimmune conditions, stress-related heart disease, stress. I mean, they have all these conditions that they now are suggesting originate from excessive amounts of stress. So the important thing, but it's always a negative thing. Notice how that we talk about how to avoid stress and focus on the negative health effects of stress. So we get stressed out about trying to not be stressed. So he says, why not change our attitude about stress? And I think this is absolutely dead on. And I think it's dead on because, and here's why, let me support you in this up front before we get into it. After I read this, I said, see, this is the reason why people look at me and they go, oh, Mary Jo, you do 1,000 things. How do you do it? And I go, And they say, your life must be so stressed. And I go, what do you mean stressed? You know, stress is a perspective. And it's about why not change our attitude about stress? And I truly do that every day of my life. I mean, it's not, I don't let stress be a negative connotation in my life. And I don't even look at my life as being stressed. Even though I have 12 different balls up in the air, sometimes Lydia might get a little stressed, as we know. But no, but the idea is that it's just, it's dynamic. It's fun to be a part of so many dynamic pieces and parts that work together to create great results for people's lives. That's how I look at it. So how do we change our attitude about stress? The number one attitude is most of us think stress is bad. Well, what's really important for everybody to perceive is the fact that if you look at a lot of the greatest discoveries and greatest accomplishments that have happened on our earth, you're going to always say, and I just picked out Steve Jobs and Apple and whatever. There was plenty of stress in that environment to fuel the growth. In fact, stress very much is the factor that fuels growth and fuels, you know, new discoveries and greater results and better results and innovative research and things. The stress can really be in something that enhances rather than diminishes your performance. But it's a viewpoint on stress. And it takes us to make a change in our attitude about it. Because the reality is that stress, as it's defined, is probably an inevitable part of any work that we do. We even have stress in Manitech. Trust me, the thought that I have every day looking at and not doing something in Manitech, if I go a day without sharing with somebody or talking to people, I feel like I've just let down some of those 5 million children. They don't have another day to wait for me to catch on. So is there a little stress in that factor? That people are dying because I may not be putting out my right foot every day. What could have I accomplished if I would have went out and made a difference in somebody's life and touched their heart? So you bet, I can't control how they respond to me, but I sure can control how much I get out there and share. So yeah, stress is in our lives in many ways. But the exercises from, and he gave this exercise in the article, next time you feel stressed, try this. Make a list of stresses you're under and place them into two groups. Number one, the ones that you can control. And so a lot of this is self-inflicted stress. And then the second one are ones you cannot control. Those are things that are coming from perhaps outside forces. And then what he tells you to do is choose one that you can control and come up with a small concrete step you can take to reduce it. So start attacking it one at a time. Most people that are stressed out, they can't even describe to you what the stresses are. They're just stressed. This is a way to get them organized in a structure, outline them. Which ones can I control? Which ones can't I control? Right? Well, these are all the stresses in my life. Yeah, these are the ones I can control. These ones I can't. And then choose one you can control and develop a plan, a step-by-step concrete step that will help you reduce it. And through that method, this will help push back your brain into a positive, productive mindset instead of one that's stressed out and can't hardly function. You're trying to increase the functionality of the brain, not decrease it. And stress can be a big, what? It's a robber, a thief of our effectiveness. So people, that's just, I'm done for the call this morning. I think this guy's attitude and approach towards happiness, and I'll get into a lot more when I review his most recent book, which is the Happiness, Advantage, the Happiness Advantage. But I really wanted to share this with you because I think it plays a great role in us starting to acknowledge how we can be better, how we can reflect a more positive attitude in every step of the way, and we can help influence other people through our happiness, other people bring other people happiness in their lives as well. And that's what I wish and hope for all of you. So that's all I have for today. Love you guys. I know we can't have question and answer because this is a taped call, but I just appreciate you listening to this and being part of our Monday call, even though I'm in Cabo and enjoying a blast of a time with so many other Manitechers. Wish you all could be here. Love you all. Have a great week. Don't forget, this is the last week of business period 10, so go out there and make it happen. Bye, everyone.